Hello and welcome to Soar with Kate on the Coach from Afar radio network on Blog Talk Radio. Today I'm interviewing Dan Tech and we are chatting about the release of the amazing book 365 Ways to Connect with Your Soul that he created with his wife Jodie Chapman, plus over 200 co-authors, myself included. This is a truly beautiful book which was launched on Amazon yesterday, which is 17th of November. And in just one day has become the number one best-selling book in the New Age and Self-Help category, plus the number one in the New Seller category too. So as you'll hear in the interview with Dan, I had the intention of the book reaching number one on Amazon, and it has. And that is really, really fantastic news. And congratulations to Dan and Jodie and all the other authors that were involved in the collaboration of this amazing book. My interview with Dan was pre-recorded on Monday before the book was launched, and this was because the time difference between the UK and Oregon made it a little bit early for Dan to be live on the show, so we pre-recorded it instead to make it a bit easier on both our sleep patterns. So before we continue with Dan's interview, I have pulled an angel card for this show, as I do for every show. For anyone who's listening live or to the replay, this card is for you. And this was so funny when I pulled this card because it couldn't be more spot on for today's show. The card is taken from the Angel Therapy Oracle Cards deck by Doreen Virtue. And it's one of my most favourite decks and I go to this a lot. Not just for the radio show, but for every day I usually pick a card from this deck. And the one that I gave this deck a really, really, really good shuffle. And the card that came out is books. And I promise I did not pick that out intentionally. Obviously the angels want us to have that card today. So the angels are letting us know that our life purpose involves reading, writing, editing or selling spiritually based books. So whether that means that you feel there is a book you wish to write, or you wish to read more spiritual books to raise your vibration and to help you to manifest your desires into your life, the angels are here to help us to choose the best books to read and will also help us to write a book if we are guided to do that too. Archangel Gabriel is the best angel to call upon to help with writing, whether that's writing articles for a magazine or writing a novel or self-help book. You can call upon her for help and any help you need in order to get that project started. And Archangel Michael also is a great angel to call upon for help with your life purpose, and he will help to guide you to books that will help you to gain insight and knowledge in order to take that first step towards your goals. So those are two great angels to call upon if you need help with writing your own book or just finding which books are the best ones for you to read. Then call upon Archangel Gabriel or Archangel Michael. Of course, all the angels will help you. And all you have to do is to go into a bookstore if you want to read a new book about spirituality or any kind of spiritual practice. Then go into any bookshop. And the best way to do it is to just go to the spiritual book section and ask your angels, okay, which book is the best one for me right now? And just see where your eye is drawn to. And very often a title will catch your eye, or an author will catch your eye, or the colour of a book even will catch your eye. Or in my case, which I discovered actually, was a few months after my father died. This was about 12, 13 years ago. And I was in my local branch of Waterstones. I was feeling really down, I was feeling really upset. I knew I needed something to just help me to get out from under this black cloud, which I was still feeling very much the grief of my father dying. And so I went to go and I stood in the aisle with where all the spiritual books were. And this book just leapt out at me. The front of the book was really colourful. It really, really caught my eye. And that book was the Earth Angels book by Doreen Virtue. And that book started me on my spiritual healing journey, especially with the angels. And it was through reading that book and then joining the angeltherapy.com website, I then learnt more about angel therapy and how it can help us in our life. And from there, I actually went on to be trained by Doreen Virtue as an angel therapy practitioner. And that, over the last 10 years, has brought me to where I am here today, speaking to you live on the radio. So this goes to show that you pick up a book, you may think it may just be a book to read, but you never know in any way how that book is going to change your life and bring amazing opportunities for you. So on that note, it is now time for my interview with Dan, and we'll be discussing the now number one best-selling book on Amazon, 365 ways to connect with your soul.
Hello everyone and welcome to my show. Today we have Dan Tech, and Dan's here to talk to us about the wonderful book called 365 Ways to Connect with Your Soul, which is being released. Actually, it was released yesterday. Please go to his website, which is www.365ways2connecttoyoursoul.com, and all the information there is about the book. So welcome, Dan. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you so much for having me here on your show, Kate. It's a pleasure to be here talking with you, talking to everybody here, discussing the book and just letting the conversation flow and see what comes up.
Fantastic. So welcome. I'm so glad you can make it. It's fantastic. Now, I just want to let everyone know this is a recorded interview because, unfortunately, the time difference between the UK and Oregon is a bit mad, and I didn't want to get Dan out of bed too early. So we pre-recorded this show. So unfortunately, you won't be able to ring, phone in live today to ask any questions. But if you go to Dan's website, then you can send a message there or email him, and you'll be able to ask any questions there. Or there's also a Facebook group as well. So Dan, would you...
A much livelier conversation, given that it's 11 a.m. for me right now instead of 6 a.m., which it would have been. It's early for some people, but for me, that's middle of the night. So
yeah, me too. I want to get up that early either. Anything before 8 o'clock, and it's still dark for me.
Although with the excitement around the book launch, we're both, my wife and I, are so excited that it's hard to stay sleep long anyway. So I probably would have ended up being awake at that time anyway, but it's nice to have those extra few hours. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's okay. It's no problem. So Dan, will you please share what the book is about and how you and Jodie came up with the idea for it?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, the book is called 365 Ways to Connect with Your Soul, which is also the website. And the book came about, to start at the end, it ended up becoming a book, which is basically what the title suggests. It's 365 ways to connect with your soul, and all these different ways, which is one way per each day of the year, have been contributed by different authors. We had over 200 authors come together to share their favorite tips and techniques, the ways they connect. And as your listeners may know, Kate, you are one of the contributing authors with a beautiful piece called Stop, Breathe, and Connect. And I was just before our interview today, just doing your technique, your meditation technique, which is so wonderful.
I was doing it too.
Oh, good. So that I can tell you firsthand, it actually works. And there are 364 other ways to connect with your soul, a vast array from meditation techniques. People connect with their soul through nature, through angel and spirit guides, through raising their vibrations with their thoughts. There's a whole array, but the way that it came about, to answer your question, is probably the least expected or the least spiritual sounding way possible, and that Jody and I were doing our taxes earlier this year, which in the U.S. is middle of April, and I was going through receipts from the previous year, from 2014, and in the midst of one, I found a very small receipt that was from, I think, 2011, from several years earlier, and I was wondering, how did this get mixed in with the taxes? And I was just about to recycle it or set it aside to put in the proper file. And I just happened to notice on the flip side of the receipt, there was just a few scribbles from Jody, a little note, and just a line or two saying, you know, idea for a website to have people come together and share their soulful stories or ideas. And that was it. It was very half-baked at best, and we're thinking about it for a website. I said, what is this? You know, this could be something. Well, it's interesting that it should turn up now. Find it. And when we went to sleep, we said, we'd like to get some guidance on this to see if this is something that we should move forward with, or to get a little more clarity about what it should be. And the next morning, we were talking about it, and said, I don't know about making it into a website, because we had a lot of sites already, but maybe that would make a good book. We had everybody contributing their their soulful stories and their soulful ideas. And what would be a good topic? And almost immediately, we thought we're all about connecting with your soul. All the work that we do, Jody's blog, my wife Jody Chapman, many of you may know from the blog or various groups that she's in, called Soul Speak, and all of our books that we had written to that point were called Soulful Journals to help you connect with your soul. And it just seemed like such a natural fit, such a natural topic. We said maybe we'll have it be ways to connect with your soul. And, you know, we could have run out of ideas very quickly, but we said if we invite other people, you know, we could get hundreds of different ways to connect with your soul, all sorts of ways. So that's the very mundane, not on one level it might sound not particularly soulful or spiritual, but I do think it is perfect. And the serendipity of finding that little receipt from literally years ago at what was clearly just the right time and getting the guidance. And a lot of times when an idea I think is right and the right time, things just sort of flow. I don't know if you found that in your own life.
I keep several kind of notebooks around my desk and around my room. Whenever I have an idea, I jot it down. And sometimes I go back through them and I realize that some ideas I had like 3 or 4 years ago, I'm just starting to touch on now. And it may not be the exact way that I had the idea originally, but it's something has stemmed from that, and like a seed has been planted in my head to think, oh right, that would be actually a really good thing to do now. And that, because sometimes you see something, and sometimes you seem to be kind of ahead of yourself when you actually, it's like you know you need to do it at some point, but you know that maybe it isn't the right time for even humanity to understand the concept of that idea. And sometimes not until you wait a few years and you realize that everyone else's vibrations have kind of been raised during that time as well, that they are then vibrationally a match to that idea, then it tends to come about far more easily, and people will tend to accept it more. I find that happens quite a lot. Ideas I had years ago, which wouldn't have been really ready to launch at that point, but now seem to be that lots of people have had the idea at the same time, and then we're all suddenly going, oh, quick, we need to do this now, now's the right time. So yeah, I've had that happen to me many, many times, and even now, I mean, that's my source of inspiration. When I get creative block, I'll go back through my old journals and then see what ideas I had, and I might tweak them a bit, or might just, yeah, try the original idea out. But yeah, it's amazing when inspiration hits you, and also when divine timing finally comes around for the right moments for it to be launched and it to be actually kind of manifested into reality.
Right. Actually, one of my favorite pieces from this book, the ones that stand out in my head, is by Barbara Schiffman about what she calls divine delay. For those of you who get the book and read it, you'll read. And I love that because she talks about a situation that she found very frustrating. It seemed like everything was being delayed and she felt like her timing was off and it wasn't right. And without giving away too much of her piece, it turned out that it was exactly right. And she actually profited in many ways, including financially, because of this delay that she had initially found frustrating. And a lot of times I found that to be the case. And I try to remember when I'm in the midst of something that seems to be delayed and I might be trying to rush it, but a lot of times, and I know this was the case with this book, when it is the right time, things really flow, and that's a good sign that for whatever reason, maybe we needed some time to grow our community and the connections and to be able to connect with all the wonderful contributing authors, including yourself, Kate. So for whatever reason, it was clearly the right time now, and it wasn't a few years early.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I found, because I can't remember, I think I must have had an email, I think, from Jody about it and about the concept of it. And I remember thinking when I saw the email going, oh, that's a really good idea. Oh, that would be really interesting to do. And I wonder, could I do that? Could I actually write something? Bear in mind, I haven't written anything really for much at all, apart from my own blog posts or bits on my website. And I think I've always, like many of us, we all have a book. They say we've all got a book within us somewhere. And at that time, I was trying to put together my own program. And the first step of my program is to get out of your head and into your heart space. And I said that I use that technique a lot. I mean, being a mother of two girls, both under the age of 8, because one's 6 next week and the other's 8 in a couple of weeks' time, in a few weeks' time, actually. And it's kind of, when you're a mother, you kind of, you need a moment to yourself just to gather your thoughts. Otherwise, you feel like you're going to go insane. And I kind of developed this technique when I realised that I wasn't getting any peace to myself. And I've got to find a quick way to just be able to just focus and just be able to go within and just take 5 minutes just to be able to breathe and just get clarity of thought and not want to scream at my children because I'm going crazy. So, yeah, so that kind of came back, it's almost by accident for me. And then I thought, oh, hang on, this would be a really good thing to share with other people. So I was going to make that my first step in my program, and it kind of still is, but I tend to go more depth. So when I got the email from Jodie about the book, and I was thinking, oh God, what do I write about? And I thought, I can't. And then suddenly it dawned on me, going, oh, the way that I connect with my soul is that exercise. So I thought, right, that's probably a great thing to write about. So I loved it when you sent me the proof of my piece that I sent to you, and said you'd already tried it out yourself and it worked. And I was like, yay!
It really does. Like I said, I just did it a few minutes before, just getting centered so that I can be coming from a heart centered,
yeah.
Not get caught too much in my head with trying to memorize. I don't have any pre-written answers or questions or anything like that. So just being here and being centered in my heart. And I love what you said just now and in your piece, how so you're a busy mother and you just need a few minutes to yourself. That's actually one of the main reasons why we wanted to put together this book, to make it easy and quick for people to connect with your soul, that to show that it doesn't have to be this long, arduous process where you have to go to a monastery or meditate for months on end in silence.
Exactly.
Sometimes it just takes a few minutes or even just a few moments to come back, connect with your soul, just to take a few mindful breaths, to sink into your heart center, to get grounded. And it's something that can really impact your whole day, not just while you're doing it in those 2 minutes, but for the rest of the day, you're carrying that energy, that raised vibration. And everybody who's reading this book presumably is living a quote-unquote ordinary life, where they're either parents or they're workers, they have children, obligations, errands, they're out driving around, work, going shopping or whatever, and just living in the everyday world, that you don't have to cloister yourself and make yourself apart from the everyday world or everyday life, that you can find ways to connect that are quick, easy, and oftentimes very fun and enjoyable.
Exactly.
In everyday life, and your piece is a perfect example of that. So thank you.
What I love about the book as well is about the huge variety of pieces in there. Some people have written very, very spiritual pieces, and other people have written wonderful pieces about just getting out in nature and being able to have nature around you and kind of connecting with that energy. And other people have connected to angels and their spirit guides and ascended masters and that kind of thing. And I do love the way that the whole book, it comes together in such a wonderful way that even if you don't necessarily feel you are kind of spiritual, in a sense, there's something in there for everyone. There's something, so it's just sort of almost, not sort of common sense, but in a way that just, there's something there that anybody can connect to, even if they don't connect with their own angels or don't necessarily understand what raising your vibration means. But they just, everyone realizes that there's something within them that helps them to find a peaceful place, a peaceful sort of place to go to, or peace of mind, then that gives them a different variety of ways to connect with that inner peace, to just be able to take those few moments just to be able to clear your head and breathe. Because so many times when we are in our headspace all the time, we actually forget to breathe, and we end up sort of over breathing and then almost hyperventilating and then getting panicky and then getting stressed and then getting worried, and that's when all the negativity suddenly kind of goes crazy. And it's sort of hope, so I love the way that when you can just tap, you can just like drop into the book at any time you want to and just pick something to just give you an idea. I mean, you may not even want to go for the whole exercise perhaps that somebody's written, but it just gives you a little bit of a moment to take yourself away from anything that's bothering you and making you feel anxious or panicky in your life at that moment, to actually just take a moment to step away from it. So I do love how the book can be used in that way as well.
Absolutely, and it was designed that, as you said, you can just dip into it on any day at any moment. It's written with one piece per day for each day of the year from January 1st to December 31st. So you can look at the piece that corresponds to that day, or you can open at random, or you can go to a topic that interests you. It's divided into 10 chapters based on the major topics. I'll just read them very quickly so people know what they are. Starts with general soulful practices and gratitude, love, and prayer, which is what my piece is about. It's called the gratitude game. Then nature and animals, as we've mentioned. Playing and having fun. So that's another big part of this book. That is not just all serious. Everything from going on a swing set to one piece about a hula hoop and listening to songs and so forth. The fifth chapter is wellness and self-care. Creativity in writing, meditation, which includes the piece that we've mentioned. Chapter 8 is angels, spirit guides, and the ethereal, then thoughts, feelings, and our vibrations, and ending with following our purpose and passion. And I hope that gives everyone a sense, just hearing the wide variety of the topic is exactly what we were hoping for when we got the idea to actually move forward with this book, that it would be a really wide variety. Because as you mentioned, everybody has a different perspective. Some people might not even consider themselves particularly spiritual. Maybe they haven't had experiences with angels or spirit guides or anything like that. But they're just interested in getting centered and taking a few conscious breaths, or in changing their thoughts, thinking more positive thoughts, or finding what's their purpose in life. What are they passionate about? Be something, or just having fun, like I mentioned, the piece about just playing, whether it's going on a swing set or using a hula hoop or taking anything that is fun and enjoyable. And ultimately, you're probably on the same page that when you're raising your vibrations and feeling joy and really feeling alive, that's when I believe you're really connected with yourself.
Yeah, and then when you actually feel that connection, it's the most immense feeling of joy that you can't really imagine at other times. If you're trying to tap in and you're having trouble tapping into it, then it's difficult to imagine what that feeling is. But when you are connected, it is an immense feeling. And you just feel so much love, and you feel really safe and completely loved and full of joy. It is an amazing feeling. And it's a wonderful way to remember that you want to feel that way every day, and to remind yourself that to feel that vibration, to feel that energy in that space. There are so many simple ways to actually get into that place. So I think it's a great reminder for everyone to, especially with the positive thinking part, is just to remember to not give any energy to the negative thoughts, but to focus more on watching your thoughts and watching your words and watching what you're saying. I have this conversation with my daughters quite often, because my youngest daughter, she tends to put herself down a lot, which I don't understand why. I think it's just that age, and she's getting to that point where her friends at school are doing different things, and they tend to get a little bit funny in the playground, as kids do. And she comes home and goes, I can't do this, I can't do that. So I think, no, you can. You've just got to change how you say that. You say, I can do this. It may take me a bit longer, but I can do it. And so it's trying to help them to watch their thoughts before that, what they're saying as well, which I've noticed a change in my children when they actually do start thinking. My daughter had an episode last week at school where by accident she upset one of her friends. Not on purpose, it's just her other friend wanted to play with her, and then the first friend didn't want to play with them and then went off upset. And I said, well, how did you deal with that? What did you do? Did you go up and talk to her about it, or did you just leave her? And she said, well, I didn't do anything. And I said, well, was she crying? And she said, well, yes. I said, well, did you perhaps go up and comfort her and say, look, we can all play together? And she said, oh, actually, maybe I should have done that. So it's kind of like she's thinking that of ways that she perhaps should behave and should treat her friends, and actually ways of kind of not always annoying a situation, but perhaps thinking more sort of, yeah, in a more sort of nurturing way, that perhaps by looking after her friends that she helps them to feel better, and then they sort of, yeah, it was quite a strange sort of lesson to try her to learn, that thinking, oh, actually maybe I did upset her a bit without realizing, and perhaps what I said wasn't quite the right way to say it. And so it was lovely seeing a 5-year-old kind of come to that realization during our conversation. And it's lovely to be able to help children in that way as well, because obviously the children are our future. So the more children we can get to actually think in this way, to actually kind of really think about how they are responsible for their own words and what they say, then the more likely they are to sort of grow into adults that think the same way, and hopefully one day we have a much, much happier and peaceful world to live in.
Well, what a gift that you're encouraging her to live consciously from her actions and right down to the words that she's using, from saying, you know, I can't do this or I can't do that. Reminds me, I don't have the exact quote in mind, but there's a Henry Ford quote, something to the effect of, whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, either way, you're right. That
exactly.
He says, I can't do that. That's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy for a 5-year-old or a 50-year-old. It's the same idea. If you say, you know, I can't do this because I'm too old or too young, or I don't have the right credentials or whatever, then that's going to become true. Sometimes I find even throwing in one simple word, like if I'm saying, oh, I can't do this, even just saying, I can't do this yet, or I can't right now, or I'm moving toward something. I'm not denying reality. I'm not saying, oh, I can do, you know, something. I can fly. I can do something that I can't do. I can do brain surgery. Well, I can't. But if it's something that I'm working toward a goal, that acknowledge where I am, acknowledge the possibility, and then, you know, enjoy the process of moving forward there more consciously. And just like your daughter, we all have times when we say or do something that maybe, you know, wasn't ideal in that moment, but it might be ideal in the long run, and that it could teach her a valuable lesson about being compassionate, being sensitive to other people's feelings, to living, like you mentioned, more consciously, and just seeing possibilities for the future.
Exactly.
I remember last time I was in this bad situation and it didn't feel so good, but that really reinforced the point I talked about with my mom, that it's important to be sympathetic and understanding of other people and what would make me feel good. So I'm sure next time around, for her and for all of us now hearing this little story, we'll be more conscious and compassionate moving forward.
Yes, definitely. I hope so anyway, because she's a very sensitive child, so she tends to take a lot of things on board. And I think a lot of the children coming through at the moment tend to be like this. They are very sensitive to different energies, and they are far more sensitive probably even than I was. And I was quite sensitive. I used to take everything, I used to take on other people's energies a lot as a child, so I kind of know where she's coming from. And so by remembering what I was like at that age and how I was trying to deal with it, then it's a good way of trying to help her as well. But the children, like the indigos and the crystals and the rainbow children, who are coming through now, their energies of our vibration are much higher than we kind of expect them to be. And we forget that they actually understand a lot more about what's going on the planet than we do. But of course, they're being, I mean, this is a whole subject for another call, but it's trying to understand how their energies are fitting in with the vibration of the planet at the moment, and how not to quash those energies and quash those vibrations and the ideas that are coming from them, because really they do see more of the best way forward than we do. So I tend to learn a lot from my children by the way they behave as well, and it's kind of, and also it helps me to keep myself in check as well, and also especially with the playing. I love that you've got the chapter in your book, in the book, about playing, and that reminded me of the fact that, oh yes, like, as a parent you tend not to play much, or even as an adult you tend not to play. And my family, we have this funny game, because I live in Cornwall in the UK, so I've got 3/4 of the county is surrounded by the sea, so we've got beaches within 20 minutes drive of wherever you are in Cornwall. And so our favourite kind of game we play in the summer, it's a bit cold this time of year, but in the summer mainly, is my husband and I started doing it before we got married actually, and my mother thought we were mad, I thought we were at your age, so we build a big huge sandcastle on the beach when the tide's coming in, with a big moat around it, and then we stand on top of the sandcastle and we wait for the tide to come in and see how long we stay on it before we get washed off. So we have great fun, and I remember when my husband and I, before we got married, and we did this on one beach, and this group of kids were watching us thinking, what are they doing? How old are they meant to be? So funny. Well, then literally 5 minutes later they were copying us. They were having a competition who could stay on the longest, and it was brilliant. So my daughters and I, we do that as well now, and my eldest daughter, who'll be 8 and next month, she has a habit, no matter where we go, she always ends up sort of flat on the beach. She manages to fall in the moat every year. No girls think that happens. So just join me now in the background. So you have to remember how to play and how to have fun, and not act like an adult all the time. I mean, and that's another way to really raise your vibration, is to just go out and have fun, do something daft, go and bounce on a bouncy castle, or borrow the kids skipping rope, because you haven't skipped for 30 years in my case. Yeah. And it's great ways just to remember and to remind yourself that there are so many different ways to raise your vibration, and not just through meditation or spiritual practice, but just to go out and play on the swings or go down the slide or do something fun like that.
And I wish everybody could see what I'm seeing now, which is your two lovely girls. So hello to see you both. And it's so nice. You were just saying what great teachers children are. Yeah, and you're right. And there actually are some pieces about how children teach us so much, including sensitivity and playing, and pieces of people and they're playing and learning from their grandchildren and children of all ages. And it's great too that, like you said, that you can also return the favor by keeping that playful spirit alive into adulthood, and then inspiring children maybe who might have felt a bit bashful to play, like the kids on the beach that you were mentioning.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to spend just 5 minutes. So I might just wait. We'd like to tell me a bit about how many authors do we have? How many authors do we have in the book altogether who are submitted a piece?
I've lost the exact count, but I know that we passed over 200, because there are 365 ways many authors did one piece, and several contributed two or three pieces, but it was over 200 different pieces, different authors rather, for 365 total pieces, which I really love, because as creative as I am and my wife is, there's no way I can think of 365 ways. So it starts being a lot of repetition, because I have certain things that I like to do with law of attraction, raising your vibration, and gratitude. But I don't know if that would get me even to double digits. But the vast variety of perspectives, like I said, there are grandparents who are talking about learning from their grandchildren, playing with their grandchildren, people in all sorts of situations all around the world, in the United States, Canada, UK, all around Europe, Australia, and just the different perspectives, the different all walks of life, all ages, and that's been just such a blessing to have just such a variety, because many things that I might suggest just might not speak to certain people, or might not be where they are at any given moment. But I'm sure if they flip through out of 365 ways, they're almost certain to find something that connects, like we were talking about earlier. Maybe it won't quite click at that moment, but and they'll think about it in a few days or maybe even a few years later and say, oh, that piece that I read, it finally makes sense, or this is the right time for me to put that practice into my life right now. So with all these different perspectives, it's really been a blessing that you've been able to present such a wide variety of ways to connect with your soul. Like I gave you both meditation, playing, and nature, playing with your pets for those of us who have pets and can connect. I just, what my wife calls grab a cat therapy. You just grab our cat and put our ear down and listen to it purring. And they always love that. Yeah. Usually love that. One of them does.
My cat's like that. I've got a cat that she's very intuitive, as all cats are. And she'll just sometimes, if I'm too busy and I'm doing too much and not taking time to just slow down and take a moment, my cat will come and sit on me, and so I can't move. Or she'll just literally come and sit on my keyboard and just stretch. I can't see the keyboard. The cat's going, yeah, do you really have to do this right now? I'm here. Shake me. So it's kind of, so it's like, okay, yeah, you're right. No, I have been looking at the screen for too many hours. So the cat, so I love how cats are so intuitive that they know that when you need to take a break or you need comforting or something, if you're a bit upset or something, they will come up and very often just give you the kind of the support that you can only really get from a cat. But they're saying that I'm getting a dog in a couple of weeks. And last Friday, we went to go and choose the puppy. And there were 9 puppies in a tiny, tiny little room, about sort of 6 foot square little room we were sitting in. And at one point, I had 4 asleep on my feet and 2 on my lap. And I couldn't move for about an hour. And everything went to sleep. Couldn't get up. I thought, I'm here for the night, I think. And the one puppy we actually chose, because I was thinking, well, I knew that whichever puppy was the one was going to come home with us, I would have a kind of certain connection with that puppy. And I did. And as I sort of we had the choice then, eventually out of the 9, between a male and a female puppy, like brother and sister, who looked very, very, very similar to each other. And so I was holding up the sisters on my feet, fast asleep. And I held up the boy, and he just put his paw on my cheek. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that is so sweet. And then he just kind of, I asked him, do you want to come home with me? And I just got to go, yes, okay, yep, I'll be your puppy. Yeah. And it was so sweet. And I thought, oh my God, the puppy's chosen me. That's wonderful. So yeah, having that rapport with animals is really, really amazing. And the energy that they give out is always so, so loving. And I'm amazed at my cat, that my cat has never, ever scratched anyone at all on purpose. And even when the children were babies, and they would go up and they'd pat the head a bit too hard, or pull the tail, or grab a handful of fur. And she would just like sit there going, okay, I know you don't know what you're doing, it's fine, just let go. Very of this one. But she was so patient. And funny enough, the first, when my youngest daughter started talking, she used to call the cat gentle, because every time she was saying, gentle, gentle, she's like, oh, gentle, okay. So I'm thinking, oh yeah, I didn't think of that way. So about the first year, she thought the cat was called gentle. She was quite funny, because I was thinking, gentle, don't pull the tail, don't grab the ear, don't bite the ear. That's one other thing she did. She bit the ear once, the cat. And yeah, I'm so surprised that she didn't turn around. But she was just so, so amazingly gentle with both of my children. She kind of, they have this kind of knowing that when there's a small person around, that is not, they don't know what they're doing at that age, and that they don't, if it'd be an adult to do that, I think she would turn around and swipe them. But yeah, she's never ever does sort of maliciously scratch anyone, not even her brothers, funny enough. But having that energy around you, it's just wonderful for any kind of stress relief. Just having a cat to cuddle, or a dog to cuddle, or any kind of animal, even. It could be a mouse, it could be a hamster, or a bird. Any animal, creature, or bird, or reptile, or any kind of creature you have, they all bring sort of a sense of peace and calm into your life, no matter what species they are. That's always lovely.
We have a number of just beautiful, I could talk for hours and hours about pets, so I'll keep it short for those who maybe aren't as quite fanatical about their animal friends as I am, but But we do have a number of just great pieces, including one of my favorites about a woman connecting with her pet rabbit, which is a lot of fun, and also some about dogs and cats, and one where a woman noticed that her animals or pets would really reflect what she needed to know, where she had a puppy who would get extra hyper when she needed, who was feeling frazzled, would need to calm down, or one whose dogs would leave their toys around the house, so she'd have to keep it very carefully and not just kind of go about her day on the autopilot, you know, to be a little more conscious. And things like that would rarely happen, but it seemed just when she needed a certain message, like you said, just when you need to calm down, your cat's there purring, or you need to look up from your computer and just play for a while.
Exactly.
Give the message. And like, I keep coming back to this point, but it's so true that, you know, for those people who do connect with animals in that way, they'll probably really resonate with those pieces and others. Or maybe people, like, I don't have a pet, I've never had a pet rabbit, but I really enjoy reading about somebody who does. So maybe even if you don't have pets, you can get some of those lessons or messages or that energy through hearing about the people. Or maybe you say, well, you know, I'm not such a rabbit person or a dog person, but I really like that teaching, and I can incorporate that message into my life to live more mindfully, or to stop for a while and just center myself, to ground myself, whether I'm holding a cat or just holding a teddy bear or holding some prayer beads or something else that's right for you, that same energy and that same vibration can come through. I have, like I said, I won't stay on this topic for the rest of the show, but I just have to ask, what kind of puppy are you getting?
It's a cross between a border collie and a spaniel. So my next door neighbour said to me, that's a bit mental. Unless I already have two children, this is going to be a walking park. Yeah. He's our parents, he doesn't understand it so quite much, but he's quite young, so he doesn't. I've come from a big family. I'm the eldest of 9 children as well, so I've always been like the second mummy from about the age of 3. So I think, you know, I there's not much a puppy really can do that I haven't quite seen before. I'm not really. I think if anything, I think the puppy's going to be easier than the children, actually.
Well, it should be a nice way for them all to have a new brother too that they can play with. Do you have a name picked out yet for him?
Yes, it's going to be called Rudy, because Rudy. We're picking him up 3 days before Christmas, so he's going to be called Rudy.
My mother-in-law's, Jody's mother's dog is named Rudy, so he's been a long time companion for us. That's a wonderful name. She actually is, there's a good segue, she's actually involved in the book too. One of the pieces was written by Jody's mother about, we all met in New Mexico, we're from different places. She grew up primarily in South Dakota, I grew up primarily just outside of New York City. And for whatever reason, I was lured out to New Mexico, and now I know it was to connect with Jody, my soulmate there. But her mother wrote a piece about how she just, for years and years, just kept hearing messages, she needed to move to New Mexico. And it just didn't make any sense at all. You know, she said she had a nice job, most of her family was there, she had friends, and everything was going well, and people thought she was nuts. You know, are you going to really just pick up your whole life and move to this place where, I don't think she had ever been there at the time. She said, well, you know, I keep hearing these messages, and I have to listen to my soul. You know, sometimes it doesn't make sense. You can't logically figure it out. But I'm so glad she did, because we all met there. And actually, the way we met was she was out. Jody was walking with her mom, and they were walking the little dog, Rudy, who at the time was a puppy. He was probably just about 6 months old at that time. So he was a little chihuahua mix. So you can imagine how tiny he was.
Yeah.
Because of Rudy, Jody came into my life indirectly, and also through her mother listening to her soul and heeding that calling, and that's I think the message that I hope that everybody gets from that, whether it's about literally moving or following a passion or being with another person. When you're getting a message from your soul, it doesn't have to make sense logically. It doesn't have to be a rational decision all the time. And you may not even know why you're doing something while you're doing it, but if you follow your soul, it can be those lead you exactly to the right place at the right time. That's Judy and her mom found, and found this book, and for me, going out to New Mexico, connect with Judy. So that's been a wonderful lesson for all of us.
I love that. I love that sort of synchronicity of how you found your soulmate as well, because that's similar to how my husband and I found each other. We were looking on the same online dating website, and neither of us were really that bothered about actually finding a partner. We were trying to find different ways of making friends. And I saw his photograph, and I thought, oh, he looks quite nice. And then I thought, well, actually, kind of keep flicking. He's mad. They keep flicking. And then when I went back, I couldn't find his photograph. And I thought, oh, my God, no, I can find and write his number down. That's silly. So I put a profile up anyway, because it's just one moment. But shut the door. I'm sure. Okay. Shut the door, please. So I put a profile up, because it was free for women to put their own profile up. So I did. And then didn't hear anything really back for a couple of weeks. And then I went away. Actually came down back home for a bit. And because I had no internet access in my flat, I used to have to use the library one. So I went into the local library to check my emails. And I had these emails from various men. And some of them were dodgy and thinking, okay, right, yeah. We'll leave that one by the wayside. And then there was one from my husband, who I didn't know, it was him at the time. And so I started reading through, and we started emailing each other, and became really good friends on the email. And then I said, well, can you send me your photograph? And he sent me the photograph, and it was the one that I saw, it was him. And I thought, oh my God, and I nearly fell off my chair. I was just like, oh, I can't believe that that is the one that I really liked, and he's actually contacted me. So it was really kind of like fate really stepped in, and thinking, right, you two are meant to be together. We are going to get you together one way or the other. And then also the funny thing was that he lived in London and I'm in Cornwall. And I always knew at some point that I would be living in London or near London. But I knew that I'd only ever go up to London if I met a man to spend my life with. And so sure enough, so a year later, I moved up to Reading, just outside London, when we got engaged. And then here we are 15 years later. So yeah, it's amazing how synchronicity works and how the universe steps in, fate steps in, and you just know when things are meant to be, and they do actually end up happening, even though you don't expect them to happen at all. You and get these niggles and things to do. It's amazing.
And you can relax. You don't have to worry if you lost the photo. If it's meant to be, you'll come back around and see each other's lives. It's wonderful. So you probably just happened about the same time. This was over 14 years ago that Jody and I connected in this way, and it was the last thing on earth that I was thinking about. This was on a remote dirt road up in the mountain in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico, a little place that didn't even have a name where we were. It was outside of a little Indian pueblo, and it was the last thing on earth I'd ever thought that I'd meet somebody up there. But when the soul is leading the way, all you can do is just be grateful and go with it. And not have to question too much about it if it's right. So I hope that has come across through a little bit through our lives and our work, and I'm so glad that.
Yeah, it definitely has. Because you can tell that even by reading about you both on your websites and about the journeys you've had up to this point as well. How amazing your life together and how sort of synchronized you are with each other as well, and how your energies match, and that kind of that love you have for each other really comes across in your work. I've noticed a lot. You have a very loving vibe on your websites, and also throughout this book as well, and all the communication we've had with all the authors together, putting this book together, and how we've all supported each other, and how you and Jodie have really supported us on how to try and get our submissions done, how to get them written, how to work out how to do the free gifts for the launch and everything. And that support has really come across sort of tenfold. It's just been amazing sort of energy that both you and Jodie emit whenever you connect with us.
Well, thank you. We're glad that does come across, and we certainly do feel that for one another, and we both feel that because of that love that we share, that we're able to let that flow out through to our other connections and into the world. And like you said, there's been a whole process of getting this book together. And they say it takes a village. It certainly took a village to get this going. although it came off the ground very quickly, much quicker in some ways than we expected. You know, within a week of getting that idea on, while doing our taxes, we had the site up and the submissions were already starting to pour in almost immediately. But it is a process and a journey, and when you can make not just the end product, but the entire process and every step of the way, you know, as loving and soulful and reflect the kind of energy that we hope to bring into the final process that really has been our intention.
So what's your end goal? What are you hoping to achieve from the book being made public, which is as everyone's listening on the Wednesday, it would have been released yesterday on the 17th of November. We're actually recording this on the 16th of November. So what are you hoping, what kind of goal or what are you hoping this book will achieve or how far it will go? What end result do you hope for, do you see for this?
Well, I really hope that it just fulfills the promise or the intention set in the title, 365 ways to connect with your soul. That connect with your soul really is the beginning, the starting point, and the end goal to help people to connect with their soul. Whether people are feeling disconnected and lost, like, I don't even know where to start. Well, they can start by just, you know, open the book at random or open and see what pulls you in. Or for people who are already feeling really good and just want to deepen that connection, or they say, you know, I've been connecting to my soul through this one specific type of meditation, but I know that there are lots and lots of ways to do it. There's not just one meditation or one practice. So I'd like to, you know, expand my horizons and have some fun and see what else is out there. So just to provide a resource for people to connect with your soul, that it is such an important part of life. Like we talked about in the beginning, if you're a busy parent or you have a job, a husband, a wife, a partner, you know, kids, friends, obligations, things that keep you moving around, to be able to take time, and not a lot of time, it can just, as you said, take a few minutes or even just a few moments, just sometimes one single conscious breath. Sometimes I'll just stop and take three conscious breaths, and that is it. That just takes a few seconds to help people to come back and connect with their soul in positive, joyful ways that feel good to them. That we're not trying to push this one particular dogma or one practice, that there is a whole world out there of possibilities. Whatever feels right to you, that you can find a way to connect with your soul, that deepest part within you of who you are, your true essence, and to live from that place, not just for those few moments while you're taking your conscious breath or whatever, but to let that emanate outward into your external daily life, and to feel a more joyful experience of life and more connection with yourself. That really is the end goal. I mean, we hope, because the authors, including both of us, you know, really put a lot of heart and soul into these works, and it doesn't just kind of fall by the wayside. And, you know, it's wonderful if it gets read by a few people, but we would love for that energy to really spread out into the world, because we know how many people it can help, people who might be feeling lost or disconnected, or people who are feeling happy and want to continue their journey in soulful ways. That really is the beginning and the end goal of this whole project, just to connect with your soul.
Thank you. This book is such an amazing collaboration of many people who have joined together to connect and share their ideas of different ways of connecting with your soul. And I really love the whole variety of people who have come together with this. It's amazing. I've learned so much just by chatting to the other authors and reading their submissions, because at one point we were all reading each other's submissions to do like a first proofread, to try and reduce the workflow that you and Jamie had to go through 365 different submissions. And I learned a lot of new techniques that I never heard of as well, which is fantastic. So I learned lots of new things.
Oh, me too. I'm always learning. Every time I've read a new piece at any stage, I always learn something, and it was such an enjoyable process for me. So I love that you and others got to connect too in the process, and it wasn't just about writing your piece and getting it all polished and ready for publication. It was also about connecting with others who have different practices and perspectives. So I'm really glad that you were able to enjoy that part of the process.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be a part of it, because it really has helped me have the confidence to actually submit a piece of my own work for a book, which I was quite nervous about to begin with, but I've really enjoyed the process, and also to make so many friends with this as well, and to really be part of this beautiful sort of this is a global collaboration, which has been fantastic. So I wish you the very best of luck with the launch, and I'm sure that the book is going to be number one bestseller on Amazon. We're really rooting for that. We're trying our best to promote it as much as possible so that we'll get to number one on Amazon. That'd be fantastic. So if anybody would like information on how to buy the book, then please go to the website, which is 365waystoconnectwithyoursoul.com, and all the information's on there. It's also, how long is the launch party for all the gifts? Because if you sign up for the book, you get quite a few of us have actually donated gifts, haven't we, for the launch party?
If you buy the book by the end of January of 2016, you'll be entitled to well over 100 gifts that have been donated all by the authors of the book. And they range from guided meditations to ebooks and courses and a whole array of ways to connect more deeply with the authors and connect with your soul. So you can download one or two of them or all of them, whatever is calling out to you. So that's a way to even go beyond the 365 ways included in the book and deepen your own connection with your soul. And connect, especially if you read a piece by an author and it really speaks to you and you want to more deeply with that author, it's a good chance that they will offer a gift. So if you pick it up now, or between now and the end of January 2016, then you'll be able to access all of those gifts.
Fantastic. And that's an amazing gift in itself, and the most beautiful gifts that are attached to this launch. So please, if you are interested in buying the book, then go to the website and then access all the gifts at the same time. I'd love to thank you ever so much, Dan, for being part of my show today. It's been fantastic talking to you. So thank you so much for coming to my show today. And remember, anyone who would like to get a copy of the book for yourself, please go to 365waystoconnectwithyoursoul.com, and all the information's on that website. Okay, great, thanks. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time on the 2nd of December. I just want to say happy Thanksgiving for everyone in the US. We don't really celebrate too much in the UK, but I have lots of US friends. So have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Dan, and to Jodie as well. And thank you again for being on the show, and I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
I can do anything, I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want, I can be what I want.